Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right, how are you today? Are you well? Are you ready to do some greater things? Amen. Well, before I get into the series, of which I'm super excited to talk to you about, I want to invite you to next weekend. Next weekend, we have our special guests, Pat and Karen Schatzlein, are going to be with us in the morning service and then in the evening encounter service. Now, this is strategic, and it's all part of our Doing Greater Things kind of, you know, series, because the Lord told us in the book of Acts that we need to go to the upper room and get filled with the Spirit and then go out and change the world. Amen? Now, you can go out on your own, but you're not going to go very far. We need the fresh oil of God to do it. We need the ability of God. We don't want to go out there in our own strength. We don't want to go out there and say, we're going to go do greater things on our own. We want to go with the help of the Helper, the Holy Ghost. And so next weekend, Pat, as he comes in, he's a traveling evangelist, massive ministry all over the world, author, him and his wife both. They're going to come and they're going to impart the gifts of the Spirit. They're just an anointed couple. They have lots of powerful things, ministry that'll happen at the altar. And so I really want you to come ready next week to get filled up, but not just filled up so that you feel good, but filled up so that you can go. Amen? Like, think about filling up your car. You fill up your car, not so the car feels good, but so that it can go somewhere. Come on now, right? That's what next weekend's about. See, we're kind of thinking about it like a mini Holy Spirit conference. And so you're going to want to prioritize being here next Sunday morning, but then also next Sunday night. Let's pack this place out. Let's enjoy the presence of God. But it's all part of us deciding to do greater things. Okay? Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 14. You're the best of all three services doing that today. Way to go, you. Give yourself a kiss somehow. All right. How many of you have your notebooks ready to take notes? And we're excited to grow and go somewhere. So we're going to talk about doing greater things. In the next 7 or so weeks, we're going to be unpacking where this church is heading in the next 2 years. And so every week we're going to go a little further and a little further and help you with that. Matter of fact, this week I'm starting to go to some small groups and some classes just to be there to answer questions and kind of help really get these things in our hearts. But I want to start to where we started here, where the scripture starts, about desiring to do greater things. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus speaking, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do." Not might, not maybe, but he will do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Now that's a reference to something special. When Jesus says, because I go to my Father in heaven, the first thing Jesus did when he got to heaven was he sent the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, just in case you wondered, which is why next week again, we're wanting to do greater things, but the very first thing we need to stop at is stop and get filled up with the Holy Spirit of God. "Whatever you ask in my name," he says, "that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And so those greater works that we're asking God to help us do, we're asking him to help us do for the glory of God. Look, church, we're not asking to step into greater work so that Life Church's name is known or so that one of us has a big impact or something where we feel significant. The reason we're asking God to help us do greater things is so that God gets glory, more and more glory, and the world can see more and more of his goodness and his faithfulness. The greater things we do, the greater works that the world sees, and the greater praise and testimony goes to God. This passage of scripture, I think, is pretty powerful. Jesus says that that you'll do the things he did and then greater things. Now, why can we do the things he did? Because Jesus did all of his mighty works through the same power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, right? The Bible says he emptied himself of who he was and he came to this earth. He took on the form of flesh. And it was after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit that he did all of his mighty works. You can look that up in scripture Every recorded miracle and great work you saw Jesus do, it was after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus with confidence says, you can do what I was doing. Why? Because you have the same spirit that I am using to do it. Isn't that awesome? You don't have a different spirit. You don't have a lesser spirit. The same spirit that was upon Jesus to do great things is upon you. Amen. Each and every one of us. We don't get different spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. And he says, you're going to do what I did, but then you're even going to do greater things. Now, when I see that, I see that 2,000 years ago, God gave us permission to start doing greater things. And God has empowered us to do those greater things. So really, it lies in us. Do we choose to do? Have we decided to do those greater things? It's not about God coming to a special moment in time, and he says, in this moment in time, you know, I've decided to do greater things. He really puts it in the hands of the believers. He told us we have the capacity to do greater works than even he did, but really it's a matter of a decision that we make to do those greater works. We can't put it off or delay it and say, someday God's going to send this mighty move. Let me tell you something. God's already sent a mighty move. And what he's waiting on is for us to decide to do greater things. He's given you his authority already. Amen. You are authorized to do greater things. And then he gave you the same Holy Spirit that he did greater things. So now you have authority and power. Amen. And all of that means we also have permission. Sometimes people are waiting on some divine permission. God, is it okay for us to do greater things in our lifetime? Yes. But it's a decision on our part. Have you decided? Have we as a church? We could literally wake up and decide, you know what? Let's go to another level. You know what? Let's do greater things. Amen. Stop waiting for some random day to come and start doing greater things. We have the authority. We have the permission. We have the ability of God to do this thing. Now let's do something with it. Somebody say amen to that. And so you see that here in the book of Acts. It is his intention that we do greater things. All of God's big ideas, all of his dreams for this generation are partnered with our willingness to get involved. That's really interesting to me. Do you realize God has great, mighty acts that he wants to accomplish in our day and age? Do you believe that? Sometimes we think that, you know, oh, I wish that we could have been born back in the Azusa Street Revival, as if God's mighty acts are back there somewhere. Or, oh, I wish we were born back in the day of Pentecost. We really could have seen something happen. Do you know that God, in every season, in every generation, has mighty works that he wants to demonstrate? The only hindrance is whether or not his people will allow him to demonstrate those works through them. He doesn't work around us, my friends. He works through us. You are his body. You are his feet. You're his mouthpiece. You're his hands. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He partners with us to do. God has dreams for our time. God has great works for our generation. Amen. His creativity, his mighty acts. We're not all poured out somewhere in the past and he's done with it. Like he's got nothing left. He's like, man, I put all my good stuff first. You know what I mean? Like God's got some more great things. But it's about the church arising and waking up and deciding to say, I'm done with average. I'm done with just attending. I'm done with just existing. I want to be a part. I want to do what Jesus said. I want to do his works and I want to do great things. That's all he's needing. He's just asking you to give him permission to work through you. You have his permission. He needs yours. Come on now. Which means if our generation doesn't see those great and mighty works and mindsets and dreams that God has for it, it's because we decided not to get involved. It's because we, the body of Christ, do you realize we have the ability to limit God's will for our generation? Do you know throughout the history of Israel, you can see it. God says, I have plans for them. He says, I have a will for them. But Israel had to come into agreement and partnership with God to bring those things to pass. If we, the church, do not want to do greater things, here's the deal. God won't make us do greater things. If we don't want to be used on a higher level, he won't make you be used on a higher level. If we don't want to create bigger dreams, God won't make you do bigger dreams. So it really does lie in our hands. Does that make sense? all of God's dreams, all of God's great works, he has decided to partner through us to make that come to pass. So do greater things. I have a question, just a question. You can answer out loud. I'd like you to answer this out loud. Are there still greater works to be done in this generation? Have we seen all the goodness that God can pour out on the earth? No, we have not. There's more. Amen. There is more to be seen, the limitless creativity of God and his answers and solutions. The next question is this, talking about doing greater things. You don't have to answer this one out loud. This is more internal. Why should I, as a person, desire to do greater things? Because I could sit here and say, man, we can do greater things, and Jesus said, man, greater things, and beep, beep, beep. But you have to answer this question for yourself. Why should I? Why should you, sitting there in that chair, why should you desire to do greater things? It's a good question. Because I'm not trying to persuade you to do greater things. It needs to be internally motivated inside of you, where you say, I want to do greater things. I cannot drag you along for 2 years. You understand what I'm saying? At some point, you have to decide, you know what? I want to do something. So why should you do that? Let me just give you a little clue. Because there's greater works inside of you that can still come out if you want them to. You have not come to the bottom of all the anointing and the talent and the gifts that God has put in your life. Amen. And God puts you in this generation for a reason. I desire to do greater things for myself because I believe there's more in me that can happen. And the more I dig inside this vein of gold that's in my life that God has put in me, and I believe the same thing in you, there is this vein of gold on the inside of you. And maybe you've scratched off a few gold nuggets and you think, man, I've seen some stuff. But you know what? If you keep scratching off more, there's more in those hills. Amen. There's more in you. And you might say, well, Pastor Kevin, that's true. When I was 20 years old, man, there was a lot that I could have done. I'm telling you, stop arguing against the wisdom of God. You are the right age right now. Say amen to that. Stop wishing yourself away, wishing you were in your 20s, wishing you were in your 30s. You know what? People who are young think they're too young. People who are older think they're too old. You're both wrong. The wisdom of God brought you into this kingdom for such a time as this. And you're hearing this message and you're in this church at the right time, at the right age. Now, maybe the greater works that you'll do won't look the same as someone who's in their 20s. But in the kingdom of God, the great works he's called you to do are just as eternal and just as meaningful. Are you hearing me there? Do not reduce what you can do, thinking, well, it's not what someone in their 20s can do. Because in the kingdom of God, you're right where he needs you, and the great works he will do through you are just as eternal and important and great and mighty as anyone in their 20s or 30s. And whatever God calls you to do in your 20s and 30s, I just want you to understand that you're in partnership with those that are a generation ahead of you. You doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you cooler or faster or anything like that. You're all working, and it's the Spirit working through you as he wills what he wants to accomplish. We're all just tools in his hand. Somebody say amen to that. Isn't that awesome? So I believe we should desire to do greater works because we want to see how much more is on the inside. How much can we get this out? How much juice can we get out of this orange? There's more in you. Wake up. Believe that and let God create greater and greater things. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 8 that the world is waiting for us to manifest all that God has put inside of us. Do you know our world groans and longs and waits for the day that everything Jesus died and paid for and put in you would come to the surface and flesh itself out? That's what the scripture is telling us. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing. Some of your Bible says, say the manifestation of the sons of God. This world, this creation is longing and waiting eagerly for the day that all that stuff that God put in us begins to manifest itself around us. I'm telling you, there's so much on the inside of you, and the world is waiting because those things in you are the greater things that God has been wanting to get to this world. This world is in a tough spot, but God has put in this world the answers and the solutions, and it lies inside of his body, his believers. And the world is saying, manifest. Could you imagine? Now, I'm not talking about the media. I'm not talking about, you know, the voices of human beings who don't understand who we are. I'm talking about the world itself. If you could hear creation, it's sitting back saying, church, let out what's on the inside. The world's saying, we need you. God put the answer in you. God's put the power in you. Now, church, be. You want to know when the world was in chaos in the beginning? And storms and torment in Genesis 1:1, the earth was formless and void, and there was chaos and torment, and darkness covered the deep. You want to know what the solution was? God said, light be. Light be. You're the light of the world now. I'm telling you, be. Be what you are. Amen. Be what you are. The world, same thing. The same world that was longing for God to say, light be there, is the same world today saying, light be. The same world calling out for the manifestation of the sons of God. Isn't that awesome? Open your Bibles, if you would, please, quickly, quickly, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 29. Acts chapter 29. Have you found it? Acts 29. Oh, your Bible doesn't have Acts 29 in it? You say, Pastor Kevin, there is no Acts chapter 29. Yes, there is. It's you. You are Acts chapter 29. You want to know why? Because God's not finished writing the book of Acts. I'm Acts chapter 29. The book of Acts, for some reason, was mistakenly called, labeled in some Bibles, the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And what that did is it put our attention on the wrong thing, our focus on the wrong thing. If you go through the book of Acts, I challenge that. Actually, it was written as a letter from the physician Luke to his friend Theophilus, which is a great name, by the way. It's like Snuffleupagus. No offense. But it was a letter. But somehow, religious people saw that book and said, these are the Acts of the Apostles. If you go back through with a careful reading of the book of Acts, you're going to find it's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the life of willing believers. The Acts of the Holy Spirit through the lives of willing believers. Matter of fact, I can give you a bunch of people in the book of Acts, characters in the book that were never apostles, but were used by the Holy Spirit in mighty ways, just to prove my point. There was a guy by the name of Stephen in the book of Acts who became the first martyr for the kingdom of God. He was never an apostle. Matter of fact, he was a waiter of tables, but he also would debate and he would get in the face of the devil. I love it. But he was the first one to lay his life down for Jesus. Isn't that awesome? The Bible actually records that on the moment he died, that the heavens opened and Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now, everywhere else throughout the New Testament, you see Jesus in heaven, you'll see him seated in a position of authority. But in that moment, when the first person laid their life down for Jesus, Jesus got up off his throne and gave him a standing ovation. He was not an apostle. He was a believer willing to do greater things under the power of the Holy Spirit. There's another guy in the Bible who was never an apostle. His name was Philip. He was an evangelist, and he actually raised a bunch of cool prophetic daughters. But man, he rocked whole cities for the kingdom of God. He was never an apostle. Where occultic practices were completely shut down, and city leaders and fathers were getting saved, and sorcerers and, you know, magicians were getting saved. He was never an apostle. But he's recorded in the book of Acts because he was a believer empowered by the Holy Spirit. Are you catching this? There was a guy by the name of Agabus, another great name, who's never an apostle. He was a prophet and prophesied a famine would come so the church wouldn't starve. And they began to prepare food to send out to all the church plants. Pretty powerful. There was another guy by the name of Ananias. And Ananias was the one that God used to bring healing of Paul's blindness and fill the Apostle Paul with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul was baptized in the Holy Ghost by someone who was not an apostle. Isn't that cool? See, the book of Acts is not the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit on believers who are willing. Do you see that? That's why I say the book of Acts is not done being written. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is not done using willing people. Amen. Now, too many times we look back to the apostles as if they were the top, they were the best, they were the limit, you know, they were the epitome of what a Christian should be. Let me tell you something. The apostles were never meant to be the lid of who we could become. They were actually the foundation of where we start. We should be 2,000 years further ahead in doing greater works than the apostles ever dreamed of. You say, that's disrespectful. Are you saying that we should do more and greater works than Peter? Yes! Didn't Jesus say you're going to do greater works than him? He didn't see that as disrespectful. He saw it as bringing glory to God. To say we could never be like Peter. Are you kidding me? We should be 2,000 years greater than Peter. We can never be like Paul. I don't want to be like Paul. We should have momentum and 2,000 years of maturity and understanding and growth and development and manifest even more than Paul ever could have imagined. And that doesn't disrespect Paul. It actually brings glory to the gospel Paul preached. You know, I don't want my kids to think that their dad was the epitome. Their dad was the best. I want them to go further than me. And God's the same way. Amen. So what I'm saying is if we decide to do greater works, then we could even see greater chapters written in the book of Acts than the first 28 chapters and see miracles and see breakthrough and see God answering prayer and changing cities on a level that we don't even see in Scripture because it's greater than the Scripture recorded. But it brings glory to God. Amen. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking to you about the greater works we as a church want to accomplish in the next 2 years. These are greater works that we want to create over the next 2 years. But I just want to clarify something. We are the church. It is not this building. Let me be very clear. I'm going to prophesy something. This building won't create anything in the next 2 years. But we can. Too many times we look at it as the church is the building. This building cannot decide to make a difference, but we can decide to make a difference. Are you seeing this? This building, in case you didn't know, is an inanimate object. This building cannot speak. It doesn't say anything. And if this building starts talking to you, we have a problem with this building. Or you. This building won't accomplish anything. If you think this building is the church, this building's gonna be here 2 years. It's not gonna do anything. But we can decide to do all kinds of things. And we can create them all if we decide to. If we decide to. So let me couch the vision of where we're going in the next 2 years in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Go to Acts chapter 1. You actually have an Acts chapter 1. It's actually there. There's no trickery there, no cunning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus speaking, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea," circle the word and, circle the word and, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So notice again, start with getting filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are next weekend. We're going to make sure that everybody here is endued with the power of the Holy Spirit to make sure we have God's power to do greater things. An oil that doesn't run out, a river that doesn't run dry. Amen. But then look at what he says. You're going to, with that Holy Spirit's power, you're going to take care of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. I can break that down into three categories. You're going to go into your home, your homeland, your home, your community, our region, surrounding areas, and missions around the world. So you're going to hear that repeated again and again over the next 2 years. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Home, community, missions. Home, community, missions. Now notice something here. That in doing greater works and in going in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jerusalem was their home. We must take care of here. Of what God's doing in this house, the ministries in this house, the things that are being used to equip and save people's lives and marriages and spirit and soul and body in this house. We must take care of Jerusalem. It's important. This house in Rockford campus, that is important to the overall mission. Amen. God didn't forget about Jerusalem in the process. But then he said, at the same time, you're going to Judea, Samaria, your neighboring towns and villages and surrounding regions. And we're going to do in the next 2 years community outreach. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to reach the poor and the hurting. We're going to reach the up and coming and the down and outer. We're going to do it all. But I want you to see something. This is not a progressive list. It's not reach Jerusalem, and then when everything's fixed and in order, go to Judea, Samaria. And once you have that sorted and perfect, then go to the ends of the earth. Listen to me. This is not progressive. It's simultaneous. Do you understand? We cannot wait around till we have everything figured out within the church body of Life Church, till everything is perfect and in order in the home. There's always going to be stuff we have to adjust, lessons we have to learn, systems we have to change, things we must get better at. How many of you know that your home is never perfectly in order? Anybody? I can tell you in our own personal experience, at night, Marie and I could put the pillows back up on the couch, pick up 1,000 socks. There's more socks than feet in any given day. Fold the blankets, put them on the ottoman, wash all those dishes in the sink to where the sink is shining, giving glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And it's all in order until 6 a.m. tomorrow. When the piranhas wake up and they make an all-out assault and beat this house up until they pass out and go back to bed. And you do it all over again. Come on now. How many of you know your house is never perfectly in order? If you have to wait until your house is perfectly in order and stays in order, you'll never get to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and you'll never get to the ends of the earth. We are able to attack the enemy on all three fronts, and I'll tell you why, because we're not doing it on our own strength. We're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're doing it with divine partnerships that God will bring us around the world and here locally. He's already begun to do that. He's begun to partner us with local ministries here to partner with, and we can attack our communities and do greater things. And he's given us strategic partnerships around the world that give us wisdom and years of their experience that we don't have to learn, so that we can come into partnership and just get going, baby. Isn't that awesome? We are not doing this alone. We're doing it with the Holy Spirit and strategic partnerships that God would give us. As I said, this series over the next couple of weeks is going to paint a picture of the greater things that we're going to do. Today I'll reveal one of them, and we'll continue to unpack more and more as the weeks go on. But there's going to need to be some system changes in order to create that preferred future that we want. There are some areas that we need to adjust so that we can do those greater things. One of the first things I would like to propose that we need to consider changing to create greater things is to change our current giving model. To change our current giving model here in the church. And it's no different than most churches in the world, so please don't think we're doing something wrong. But it's just not the current, it's not the giving model that's going to create the greater things that we're believing for. Our current giving model, if you were to write it down like in a philosophy, is what's the philosophy of our current giving model? It's a wait-and-see giving. A wait-and-see giving. Write that in your notes. A wait-and-see giving. And it works in both, in two layers. The first layer is there are too many people that come to church to wait and see what they feel like giving that day, and then they just give out of how they feel. They wait and see. There's no pre-planning. There's no preparation. There's no decision of what they'll give consistently. It's just, how did the week go? Was there any car problems? You know, was it a bad week or a good week? Am I in a good mood or a bad mood? You know, because a good mood and a bad mood, did you get your coffee on your way to church? If you didn't get your coffee, that could cost missions a lot, right? Because you're in a good mood, you're in a bad mood. And so it's a wait and see. You wait till you get here to see what it is that you're going to feel, and then you're giving out of emotion rather than structure. Hello. Yeah, nobody wants to say amen to that. Okay, that's fine. And so what happens, I've had people tell me, you know, Pastor Kevin, I get to church, I put my hands in my pockets, what's ever in there, I pull out, and that's what God wants me to give. There's no planning. There's no preparation in that. And that's not going to be able to consistently build greater things. And so it's a wait-and-see model. And so what happens is even the board and the church and the leadership here, we have to be a part of wait-and-see. And so whatever people feel like giving, they feel like giving that today, and maybe just one of those today, and is there anything in there? Oh, let's give that today. And it's just whatever, a wait and see model. So then the church and the leadership, we wait and see because we have no expectation of what will come. And what happens is throughout the year, then we pay, you know, we pay what we can pay in ministry and we do what we can do. And then at the end of the year, we have to wait and see if there's anything left to do anything greater. Does that make sense? And so even ourselves, we have to wait a whole year to see if there's anything left. And if there's anything left, maybe we can do a few greater things. So it's a wait and see model. And that's what I believe we can adjust. I believe we can switch that and go from a wait and see model to a decide and do model. A decide and do model of giving. Now, what's a decide and do model of giving, Pastor Kevin? I'm so glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Why, thank you, Pastor Kevin, for telling us what a decide and do model is. You're welcome. A decide and do model is this. We as a church decide on what great things we want to do in the next 2 years. And by knowing what we want to do over the next 2 years, then we pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what giving are we supposed to consistently be a part of over 2 years to put in the box to make sure we can do those things that we've decided we want to do? So what we're doing is we're saying to do these greater things, to do these greater things that we believe God is calling us to do, we need to have this much in the box. And so now, rather than just waiting to see what goes in the box, we, the church, put that much in the box. Yay! And then if we put that in the box, we know that we're going to get to do these greater things. Amen. And in that model, we don't have to wait a whole year to see if we can do something, which just wastes time too. Because there's no commitment on the other model. In this model, there's a commitment. In this model, we as a church can have some sort of expectation or understanding of what we, the church, have committed to put in the box. And when we know what you want to put in that box, we can begin to say yes to certain greater things and put the ball in motion on the greater things. Isn't that awesome? So it's a decide and do. We've decided to do those things. Therefore, we've decided to put that much in the treasure chest to make sure there's enough treasure to do those greater things. And we don't lose 2 and 3 years waiting to see. Basically, rather than having a, I hope we get around to doing greater things philosophy, we say we decide to do greater things, and this is what we're going to do over the next 2 years, and we'll make sure there's enough to do those things. When you make a decision, the Holy Spirit goes to work to help create the path. I've been teaching this for the last few weeks, but I hope you understand this works here too. When you make a decision, the Holy Spirit goes to work to help create the path, give the wisdom, bring divine partnerships together, and distribute the anointings to do that which you've decided to do. It's in being double-minded or unsure or being wishy-washy, not wanting to commit to doing anything, the Holy Spirit doesn't get involved until you've decided to do it. It's just the way it works. Why would he start giving you anointings to do something that you haven't committed to do? Come on. Why would he start giving you divine partnerships to do something that you will not commit to do? The moment we commit to do it, the Holy Spirit says, all right, they've committed to do it. Now, this is how to create that thing. Now, I'm not asking you to do it all on your own. We're all doing this together. But when it comes to whatever amount the Holy Spirit puts in your heart to put in the box, once you commit to say, that's what we're going to do, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to help you do? To do that which you committed to do. But if you don't want to make any commitments or you don't want to make any plans, the Holy Spirit can't start giving you the creativity how to create that thing. But the moment you decide a thing, the Holy Spirit goes to work. Your mind goes to work that he gave you. His anointings begin to be given to you to create that thing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you, Jesus speaking, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, they're of one mind and in harmony about anything they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now you might say, well, Pastor Kevin, it says if it's in the will of God. Let me tell you something. Making sure this church continues to equip people and save souls and baptize them in the Holy Ghost and bring people into ministry, that's the will of God. Making sure that our community begins to be transformed with community outreach and bringing salvation to many and feeding the poor and clothing people and getting involved in solving problems in our community, guess what? That's the will of God. In reaching people around the world and helping with orphanages and church plants and raising up pastors around the world, let me be very clear, that's the will of God. So now the only thing missing is, will we get an agreement on it? See, because God will help us create whatever needs to be in that box, because he's not limited, right? He is not limited to what you even currently have in your possession. I'm not asking you to look at what you have to make a decision. I'm asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit and then say, Holy Spirit, what would you have our family commit to over the next 2 years? That's it. And then the Holy Spirit of God, as we come into agreement, we say, this is what we as a church believe God has called us to do. The Bible says God is right in the middle of that decision, because we come into agreement, we come into harmony over it. And when we're in unity about it, we say, God, that's what we want to do. God, that's what we want to create in the next 2 years. God has every ability to help us put enough in the box and the partnerships to help us produce it on the outside. Do you see that? The only limiting factor is whether or not we'll just get into agreement with it. Is this what we believe we can do and we desire to do in the next 2 years? The first step in doing greater things in so many areas is just to make a quality decision over it. You see it again and again. I've been teaching this for weeks now. The first step in doing anything is making a decision. You can see it in multiple areas of your life. The Do the Work series is all about it. Decide to get healthy. The path emerges how to get healthy. If you don't make a decision how to get healthy, you think there's no way to get healthy. That's not true. The moment you decide to get healthy, you see many paths on how to become healthy, whatever works for you. You decide to get out of debt. The path to get out of debt emerges. If you don't make a decision to get out of debt, you have every excuse in the world why you can never get out of debt. But the moment you decide a thing, the Holy Spirit goes to work to help you accomplish those things. Decide to fight for your marriage. If within a marriage, the two people can make a decision. Look, it's rough. It's been tough. But we make a decision to fight for this marriage. You know what? God will create the path, bring you into connection with the right people, the right retreats, the right counselors, whatever it is. But you have to make a decision to stick with it and make it work. But the moment you decide a thing, the Holy Spirit, you see it, gets involved and makes it, in turn makes the impossible possible. But it all started with people making a decision. Even in the natural, I could tell you this. If you decide a thing, you decide to go on vacation, the path to go on vacation as a family emerges. There's too many people that do the wait and see model when it comes to family vacations. I wish and desire everybody to go on vacations. I think it's a powerful thing. But what happens is so many times, people will not plan and they pay all the bills throughout the year and they're just living like that. And then at the end of the year, they wait to see, is there anything left to go on vacation? And there's just about enough to go to Beloit. God bless Beloit. Nothing wrong with Beloit. They got a good sushi place. They got a good burger place. And that's great. But we can do greater things than Beloit. No offense to Beloit. But we can go a little higher. But you know what it is? What's going to take? It's going to take a decide and do even to go on vacation. 2 years from now, if you make a decision today and say, you know what, my family, 2 years from now, we're going to go to Disney World. What does that do? What does that do? How much do I need to put in the box every month so 2 years from now, we're going to Disney World, right? It's the same idea. If you don't plan for it, 2 years from now, you're not going to Disney World, you're going to Beloit. But if you plan for it and you decide a thing and you figure out how much that's going to cost, and then consistently, as God gives a little bit more here, a little bit more there, maybe you make a little more at work. But you know what? God's not even limited to what you make at work. Some supernatural things come through, and you know what? 50% is going to go to some bills I want to pay off, and the other 50% going to Disney World. The Disney World Fund. And God can begin getting involved to create that thing that you decided, and you put it in the box. Are you seeing how that works? So as we start this series, I'm going to have Maria come up and join me. And we're going to talk to you about one of the greater works that we believe God has called us to do. We've prayed about it. We've listened to the Lord on it. We've decided to do it. And so let's talk about one of the ends of the earth things that we're going to do. And it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And it's Thailand. Let's talk about Thailand.
Well, I'm really excited to have an opportunity to kind of just share just a little bit about Thailand. Many of you know that our Life Church Leadership College students, a group of us just recently returned back from Thailand. And it was an amazing trip all around for them. And it was also very strategic on our church's part as well to head out there. We have a beautiful relationship, one of those strategic partnerships that we're talking about, a beautiful relationship with Todd and Julie Powers. If you have been around Life Church for a period of time, you probably remember them coming through here on and off. They're great friends of the house. But they run an organization called Empower International, and they're in three countries. They're in Thailand, Burma, and Pakistan. They're right smack dab inside of the 1040 window, if you're familiar with that. Just where they work, there's less than 1% of the populations are considered themselves to be Christians. So it's just a very dark and lost area. Isaiah is excited about that. He's enjoying that. It's just a very dark area. And a lot of what they do, what's really fun, they do so many great things, but they do a lot of working with pastors and local leaders rather than just being Western, run by Westerners. But they go and they empower local pastors, local leaders. They work with local orphanages and they come alongside and they provide teaching, they provide mentorship, they provide ministry resources, they provide financial resources, they provide all of the support behind them to help them become amazing and successful and to be able to reach their countries for Jesus. Amen? And one of the amazing things, I mean, our trip was fabulous. They took our students all over. We had an opportunity to do shoe outreaches. We ran a women's conference in the Hill Tribe of Thailand. I'm sporting my Thai pants today. My kids were like, seriously, Mom? And I said, hey, I had to represent. But we had lots of beautiful opportunities to minister. Our guys got to put a roof on the top of a church. We saw several different orphanages. We did a lot of different things. But on one Sunday, we even saw city ministry. We had some great opportunities to worship with a church in the city. And on a Sunday morning after we had church, we got in the car and we drove for about 5 hours to a city called Mae Sot, Thailand. And you're going to want to remember that name, the name of that city, Mae Sot. And we came into the city and we went to what is considered, like they would consider like their local Sam's Club. And we loaded up our carts and loaded up our vans with all kinds of goodies and practical things like shampoo and other kind of hygiene products, as well as some fun candies and treats and all that kind of stuff. And then we made our way to a local orphanage. And tell you what, it's almost even just hard to communicate. Sometimes you don't really just have the words. But even over in Thailand, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of lack. There's been a lot of devastation. So there's a lot of orphans. There's a lot of kids that just don't have a place to go. But you're not going to see them on the street. You're not going to see them out and about. Because if they're not in an orphanage, if they're not being taken care of, they're being trafficked. So even Todd and Julie's ministry does a lot. They have a whole arm that does a lot of the rescue from trafficking. But a lot of these orphanages, yes, it's to care for them. It's to love them, let them know about Jesus. But it's also prevention. So there's a great need for these orphanages. And so we made our way into this orphanage, and we got to meet with this beautiful lady. The orphanage is run by a lady by the name of Hetu and her husband, who just started taking in Burmese refugees. They have now about 45 to 55 children that they're caring for and looking after in this orphanage. And Todd and Julie just recently were made aware of this orphanage about 3 or 4 months ago, and they've already come alongside, and they've already helped to bring it up to standard. You're going to see some pictures of the orphanage here in just a second. And it's hard to watch kind of where the standard of living that they have. But that's where we get to come in, because we got to go in, we got to meet these kids, we got to give them some gifts, have a blast with them. We didn't get to spend quite as much time with them as we wanted to. But these are going to be our Life Church kids, because we get to support and adopt this orphanage. And I'll tell you what, I'm super excited to, well, you're going to get to see here in just a second, but hey, too, she loves on, cares for these kids. And you know what? They're so happy because they know that they're safe. they know they're not trafficked. They know that they're in a safe place with people that love them, that are telling them about Jesus. And hey, too, the lady that runs the orphanage, she also runs, she's a headmaster of a school right down the road that the kids get to go to with about 400 other kids. And that's so important because if they don't have an education out there, they don't have any future. And so it's a big deal that these kids are in this place and they're so excited to be there. And so I want to introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, Life Church. I want you to meet some of your extended family halfway across the other side of the globe in Thailand. And I want to introduce you to some very special kids.
Hey, Life Church. It's so good to have part of your family here. Thank you for sending Maria to be here and to see firsthand what's happening on the front lines of the mission field. We're here with Hetu. She is a champion. She is a hero because she's the one that's really doing the hard work right here on the front line, saving children's lives and helping them develop the possibility for a bright future, providing the education, watching out for them, providing a home where they're learning about Jesus and being brought up in a very positive and powerful way. And we're so excited because we're going to be able to partner together to help more kids through people like Hetu in places like this. So just wanted to say thank you. You guys are such a blessing to us.
Did you understand what they said? Yeah, they said, "We love you, Life Church," is what they said. If you couldn't quite understand it, and they're so sweet. It took them like 10, 15 tries, I promise, to get that down. They're working so hard trying to get with their little accents. But we're so excited. The pictures that you're seeing now that you can go ahead and scroll, the reason that we're showing these is because we want you to see where it's going. You saw where they're currently at, but our heart's desire, Empower's heart's desire, is to put them in beautiful facilities, much like what you're seeing here. We actually visited this orphanage. It's an orphanage in Burma, run by just an amazing husband and his wife. They're doing a tremendous work out there. I don't have time to share their story, but this is an example of where we're going to see our kids in a facility like this. Amen? That's beautiful. It's high quality. Man, they're in a safe place. And you know what? It all speaks about how much Jesus loves them as well. Amen? So they're in a really great place. And so we're excited about that. But you know what? Not all of these orphanages in Thailand are the same. Not every orphanage is run by Jesus-loving people. And so I know that there's a short story. I know that we kind of shared a couple weeks ago, or maybe while we were in Thailand, I heard that it was shared. But we had an opportunity while we were in Burma. Remember I said Empower comes alongside local ministers of the gospel. And Todd had developed a relationship with a gentleman by the name of Paul, Pastor Paul. He's like the Apostle Paul, I kid you not. And we had an opportunity to go into his house, which is just this little, really not much more than a shack in the middle of the jungle. And that's also the church. But he had built a strategic relationship with a chief Buddhist monk not too far from where he had lived that houses about 650 children. Now, you have to understand, these kids had never heard the name of Jesus. Never. It's a very dark place, and a lot of very not okay things happen in these Buddhist monasteries that are as orphanages, that they bring them in. Understand what I'm, okay, not good things happen in these places. But because of this relationship that Pastor Paul built with the chief monk, we were able to go in to the orphanage and tell the story of Jesus and share the gospel. Now these kids, I don't know if they've ever seen a Westerner before and in person, so that was pretty fun. But to come in, and we were able to share the whole story, which was so exciting for the first time. But then we couldn't ask for any public declaration of faith, like for them to, you know, publicly declare that they wanted to make Jesus Lord of their life. But what we could do is say, hey, you know, the gentleman who was preaching, Pastor Dana, He said, this is how I ask Jesus into my heart, and I'm going to pray this, and if you'd like to pray with me, we can all pray together. And through an interpreter, he began to pray that prayer, and the whole room prayed it together at the same time. How exciting was that? So you're seeing these little kids here, boys, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, that are being trained to be monks. But anyway, I'm just saying we have to go. We have to share the gospel. It's important to have orphanages and partner with people, strategic partnerships like Empower, because they're having orphanages where the kids are hearing the gospel. And the way to change this nation, the way is to come alongside and raise up these young men and women. We don't know the destiny in their lives. We don't know what God's called them to do, but we do know that when we love them and we pour into them and we tell them about Jesus, they're gonna go change their country. They're gonna go back and change their world, amen? And what a beautiful opportunity we have to love on and take care of 45 to 55 kids that are going to be our own, that we get to sow as seeds. How many of you know your kids are like an arrow? You train up a child in the way he should go, right? And we send them out. We get to do that on the other side of the world in Thailand. We get to love on these kids, make sure they're in the right place, and be one of many. There's many avenues, but be one place where we get to make sure these kids love Jesus. They know who God's called them to be, and they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and they're out there as evangelists, and they are sharing the gospel. They're already doing it, which is really powerful. So it's so exciting. So Life Church, we have some kids in Thailand. We have an orphanage. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the urgency. There has to be a sense of urgency in us, right? If we don't build orphanages, they're either trafficked or they're put in Buddhist orphanages where there's other harmful and dangerous things that happen inside of there. And so we are needed there. The whole church, the whole kingdom is needed there, but who will go, right? That's been God's call forever. Who will go? And so we're making a decision. We want to be one of them. So real quick, some practical details for you, and then we're going to close. Pastor Brock, you can come. So what are the giving goals? We're not asking you for anything today. Over the next few weeks, we're just asking you to begin to believe and pray and see what God would have you do. But the giving goals over the next 2 years are simply this. Right now, are to do what we're currently doing, over the next 2 years, just to maintain the same level of ministry that we're doing right now, over 2 years, it would be about $5 million. That's what we currently are utilizing to give you the current level of ministry that you currently are. That's right. If everyone did exactly what we normally do, then we could do exactly what we normally do, okay? Which is great. We've seen some good stuff. I like what we've seen. Woo! But if we want to do greater things, then we're going to need to go another level. And so what will it take to do the same thing over 2 years? It's about $2.5 million a year. If we all do the same thing, that's about what will happen. And we can do $5 million in 2 years. We'll stay at the same level of what we've seen. But if we want to do some greater things, our first goal is this. We call it our victory goal. It would be $5.5 million. So an additional $500,000 over 2 years, $250,000 a year. If we can raise that 5.5, that gives us $500,000 to do some of these greater things. And I think that's awesome. And that would be a huge victory. That's awesome. But then we have another goal, because I want to keep challenging us and believing for bigger. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I'm going to ask big. 6 million. That's our challenge goal, which would help us to do even more greater things, both on our campus and our community and to the ends of the earth. But then I have one bigger goal than that. And you say, Pastor Kevin, you should stop at 6 million. Look, it's going to be a miracle to get to any of these. Amen. So why not ask big? Because you never know how God can make this thing happen if we decide and we ask for great things. Why ask small? Hello? So my dream breakthrough goal for the next 2 years is 6.5 million. And in doing 6.5 million, we would be able to do absolutely everything that each of the areas, the home, community, to the ends of the earth, could do. It would literally blow it out of the water with more to spare to prep us for the following 2 years. I mean, it would just be awesome. $6.5 million. Why don't you go ahead and stand? So that's what we're believing for. And over the next few weeks, we'll continue to share with you some of those greater things as we kind of, you know, build our heart and faith and see what God's saying. As I close in prayer, I just want to remind you of one last verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask, or think. Isn't that awesome? I just think God, when I get to heaven, I don't think God's going to get mad at us because we asked him for too much. If anything, God was always mad at Israel because they expected too little. Come on. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Again, we do this to bring God glory. But there's one little caveat there I want you to see. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think or imagine, but it's according to a power that needs to work in us and through us. See, if we choose to not let the power work in us and through us, then all those things God imagines can still be stopped and limited. We talked about that earlier. God can do beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine, but he's still going to do it through human beings. He's still going to do it in and through us. He's not going to go around us. He's going to do it through us. And so will he be able to do those greater works through us? And all he asks us to do is to do whatever it is he tells us to do. So no one's asking you to do anything beyond that. But just be listening in the next few weeks and let's see what the Lord has us to do. Let's pray. Altar teams, why don't you come down and get ready to pray for people. Heavenly Father, right now as a church, we're moving into a totally different way of living and thinking. We're moving into a time and a way of doing Christianity where we're gonna make a decision to do some greater things. We need your help. We need your help to do these things. We need your help, not just financially, but we need your help even as we personally go to greater levels. If we are the church, then we have to grow into greater things inside, internally, as well as be able to do them externally. So Lord, I'm asking over the next 2 years that, man, this church goes through such an awakening inside, outside, all around. That, Lord, there is a mobilization, an equipping, and a releasing, and a building anointing that comes on us, and a creation anointing that comes on us. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of creation. I just speak that over Life Church right now. I thank you for this body, for what's on the inside of them. And I thank you for the gold and the talents and the gifts that are about to be manifested to this world, that the world is longing and groaning, waiting for them to become what you paid for us to become. I thank you for it. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.